Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Hey, g'day everyone. Jeez, you guys are a long way up. I have to straighten my spine. Hey, really great to be here. It's a real honour to be amongst you. And, great, thanks for looking after Anna. Welcome in. And looking after her, we as a family really appreciate it. You've been a good home for her. When I was here in November, I was just impressed by the realness and the relationality of the place, because I love those things. Too much of Christianity is fake. So I love it when it feels real. So it's good to be in a real place with real people, with real problems. So yeah, so I'm gifted at that, so it's great to be with you. So I do need to clarify my statement. I'm not a pastor now, so if you really want to label me, I'm Coach Nigel now. That's what I do. I'm a life coach, and I talk. So yeah, I just really wanted to clarify that, because that was a skin I shed. And I'm not sure it was a result of growth or the reverse, but I'm secure about it nonetheless. So it's great to be here. Lord, we just ask that you'd speak to us, and you'd be, by your Spirit, would be whispering into our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're a kid, you just don't have any secrets, do you? Seeing some of these little fellas here and their nappies running around, and people around, and they're talking in your home about the latest All Black victory over the Wallabies or something like that. And or the latest Black Caps defeat at the hands of or whatever you're talking about. And as a cool sou'wester kind of blows gently through your house, you realise there's a smell in the room. And you think, oh, we need to change this nappy here. So you're on the floor, kid. The sou'wester's blowing through your privates as you're lying there getting your nappy changed. And you have no secrets as a kid, do you? And the whole neighbourhood's there looking at you. And as you grow up, you know, you learn the body swerve. And so as the nappy change is happening, you run off down the hall, avoiding mum and dad. And some adults use this trick, you know, thinking that freedom equals running in the nude. But really, it's just a childish little number. And as you grow up, your parents seem omnipotent and that they know everything about you, but it starts to change. And for me, it started to change when I got a friend called John. And John lived down the road from us, but John, I have to say, he was unusual. He was quite weird, but he was a really good mate, and he made my childhood less than bland. I discovered the Beatles and Dylan at his house. God bless him. But we had the secret hut and the secret fort, and we had all these kind of things going on. So when our sworn enemies, the Hodgsons and the Clarks, turned up, we had these baked clay balls ready, and we would just whip them, and it was just great. But our favourite thing that we did, which my parents never found out about, was we would lift a cowpat. Does that make sense? Do you call them cowpats here? So it was rural. We'd lift this cowpat. We'd carefully dig it out. We would put it in wrapping paper, wrap it up, and put it on the side of the road and just wait for some car to stop. And for some reason, the minute a car stopped, grabbed the present, took off, we just couldn't stop laughing for ages. It was just like we laughed till we cried, and then we'd do it again. And I unfortunately told my boys about this. And we live rurally too, and where we are. And so one day I walk out, and they've got this box, and they're filling this box with cow poop. It's very, very fresh. It's kind of like liquid stuff. And I said, you need to understand the subtlety of this game. But they never went for it. Anyway, so that was our secret game, and that was one of my first secrets. And my mother got me and my sister around recently because she wrote our family memoirs. And it was telling the story. She's 83 now, and she urgently called my sister and I to the house and said, I need to tell you something. And my grandfather, when he was 14 years old, ran away from home and went to South America and lived there for a while and nearly died there. And it was a family legend about that. And my mother, at 83, had finally found out the truth about all of that. And she said, I have to tell you, I've written these memoirs and they're all not correct. But you have to swear that you won't tell anybody. And she told me, so I can't tell you. I'm really sorry. But after we were told the family scandal, I was really disappointed because I thought, finally, some exciting Dixon scandal. But it wasn't very good. But anyway, we live in a world of secrets, don't we? We're used to the fact that our governments don't tell us everything. We're used to the fact that even now we don't know the evidence around JFK dying. It's still sealed up. Isn't that fascinating? That leaders seal their secrets, never to be told. And we also live in a world of secret struggles, that all of us have stuff we wrestle with, and often it happens alone. So I want to talk about secrets today. And not everything I want to say about it is bad. In fact, a lot of it is actually good. But I want to do it from the angle of a Bible story of a character who I intensely dislike. And we don't have to like everyone in the Bible. In fact, most of the stories are there highlighting what not to do rather than what to do as life lessons. It's wisdom as well as revelation. And so I want to look at the story of Samson. And I know it's profoundly ironic, you know, for a balding guy to tell the story of a seriously long-haired guy. But anyway, I'll do that. And I just want to read a few verses from, it's from Judges 13. If you've got your Bible, it's a really great thing to turn to it, because we kind of, that's what we do, don't we? Okay, so I just want to read from Judges 13, verse 2, and it says this: there was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren, having borne no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, although you are barren, having borne no children, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now be careful not to drink strong wine or to eat anything unclean, for you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor is to come to his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. It is he who shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Okay, so this is the beginning of Samson's life, and this message evolved out of an experience I had a little while ago when I was walking down the hall of our house, and it's quite a long hallway, and all the kids' rooms were dotted on either side of this hallway. And as I was walking down this hallway, I realized something. All the doors were shut. And once all the doors were open, I would walk into my kids' rooms, look at them, because they were almost always at their most beautiful when they were asleep. I'd look at them and I'd pray for them, and then I'd walk into the next room. And I was walking down the hall and I realized all the doors are shut now. And it was a moment where I realized I would never fully know my children ever again. And as a parent, that's a sobering moment, because they are now developing privacy. They're developing an inner world where they separate themselves, and they need to. I really don't want a 45-year-old son in my house. it might be nice for a day, but, you know, for the rest of my life, no. They have to separate. And they have to. And part of the becoming an adult is developing a private world and having secrets. And these secrets enable us to form relationships, because when we, as we form an inner world and as we become an adult, we have a world that we can share with somebody and we can form friendships. When you're a kid, when everybody knows everything about you, you can't have a true friendship because everybody knows everything. But when you choose, when you have an inner world, you can choose to let people in or keep people out. And good secrets, the good things in us, are gifts that create relationships and community. And it's amazing, when I met Carolyn, I just wanted to tell her everything about me. It wasn't particularly interesting. I wasn't particularly, interesting. But all of a sudden, everything mattered, and I wanted her to know everything about me. And we just talked. And it was just great talking. And somebody came into my private world and has never left. And she knows everything about me, and she knows the crappy stuff about me, and still loves me. Isn't that great? But that's the gift of secrets, that she knows things nobody else knows. And in the story of Samson, we see that his life starts with two secrets. They're told to his mother and will be told to him. That number one secret is that he is going to live differently for the rest of his life. He is going to live as a Nazarite. He's not going to cut his hair and he's not going to booze. He didn't cut his hair, but he did booze, as it turns out. But this was a secret life code that he was called to live. And the reason for his secret life code is the biggest secret of all, is that he is going to deliver Israel from their enemies. Now, this had to remain secret because Israel was completely dominated and genocided by the Philistines. He had to grow up in secret and emerge at some point as a deliverer. But his life begins as a secret. Do you know what? You have good secrets in your life. You have good secrets. Some of you are charged with dreams that you've never shared. The dreams that God has put in us, the vision, the hope, gives us a reason to breathe, and you can't share it with everybody. Because some people will just roll your eyes and say, whatever. And it's just too precious to share with anybody. You have good secrets. And I'll tell you what, the secrets that you have and the dreams that you have and the life values that you have that are secret, as you share them, community is created. Some of you come here, you might turn up on a Sunday, leave, and you don't see anybody for the rest of the week. And that's okay. But it's really important that some people in your community know your great secrets. Because if you come here without anybody knowing, you're a stranger. But when our secrets become known, we are in community. Does that make sense? Until it's out there, we're unknown and we feel like a stranger. You don't know what matters to me. You don't know what's in my life. And until we gift those to people, we are actually alone. Does that make sense? And so secrets are our gifts to our friends, to our marriage partners, to our Christian community, and sometimes to our workmates who have a measure of trust that we can impart ourselves to. And so secrets are really fascinating things. Some people think they're bad. I think they're great. And without secrets, we're hollow and unmysterious. Now, the interesting people in the Bible are really complicated. David is really complicated. You never know where David's coming from. When he's running from Saul, is he in a good space? Is he in a bad space? What's he thinking? What's he doing? We don't know. He is a mystery. Just like God is a mystery, and we'll never get God. God is so deeply mysterious. He's a secret of God. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But King Saul, well, he's just got a rejection complex, and he's very simple. He's uncomplicated. So to be mysterious and complicated in the Bible is a good thing. When we read about Jesus, the disciples can't read him. They don't know what's going on with him, but we know everything that's going on with Peter because he's an idiot. Okay? Now, I'll tell you what. Do you want to know one of my life ambitions? I want to be an international man of mystery. I want people to meet me and say, he's deep. Now, I know I'm shallow as heck, but when people meet someone of spiritual depth, they feel like there's always more. Whereas often we meet people who have no secrets, no depth, and there's nothing to explore. Getting to know Carolyn has been a journey of constantly navigating a person who I want to keep getting to know deeper and deeper for the rest of my life. Isn't it great that that's actually possible? Okay? But it requires we have an inner world. And I'll come back to that in a minute. So, Samson starts life with good secrets, but Samson ends up with bad secrets. So let's read on how our hero goes. And we'll pick it up, the story up from Judges 14, verse 1. It says, "Once Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw a Philistine woman. Then he came back and told his father and mother, 'I saw a Philistine woman at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife.' 'But can't you marry someone from our own people?' they said." Okay. Now, verse 16, it gets better. That one doesn't go well. So Samson, it says, went to Gaza, and he saw a prostitute and went into her, and the Gazerites was told that he's there, so they circled him, and then he kind of escapes. And then in verse 4, it says, "After this, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah." Why Delilah? I don't know, but it was Delilah. Okay. Sorry, Tom Jones song. I didn't have the courage to sing it, but there we go. Samson has a problem. Samson has a bad secret. His bad secret is he's a sexaholic. And this starts to emerge in his life. He's there to deliver Israel from their enemies, the Philistines, but he really likes these sexy Philistine woman. He spots one, he wants one, he's going to prostitutes, and now he's got involved with a woman called Delilah who will prove to be his nemesis. It's interesting that Samson is never referred to as having a friend. He's actually got brothers, and his relationship with his brothers is completely unmentioned. He is a man alone, and he is a man alone with a dark secret. Paul Tournier, the psychologist, says this: "Nothing makes us as lonely as our secrets." And Moses in Psalm 90 talks about, "Forgive us our secret sins." I coach a lot of people, and so people tell me their secrets. For whatever reason, I think Crocodile Dundee says, I'm going to a therapist. And Paul Hogan says, "What are you going to a therapist for?" "Well, I've got problems." "Don't you have any friends?" And, the loss of true friendship means people do go to life coaches and counselors to talk about their lives and to share their secrets, the things that they don't feel they have the relationships to tell anyone else. And sometimes it's professionals can help us, and sometimes professionals are really unhelpful. But anyway, one of my clients is a church leader, and he said, he eventually told me that he smokes. Now, to lead a Pentecostal church and to smoke is a little bit complicated. I mean, it's one of the, 17 great sins, for goodness sake. I jest. But anyway, and he said, "Nobody knows. My wife doesn't know. And I just go out and I have lots of peppermints and I kind of whatever." And I was at his church speaking and I said to him, "Hey, I can smell it." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I just had to hit one." But not all secrets are benign as that. A guy came to me to talk about his family. And after a while he said to me, "When I was 16 years old, I came home from school early and my mother was sleeping with a man who was not my father. And she made me promise not to tell." And he was very distant from his father, very close to his mother. And he was now married with children, and he has this secret exploding in his chest because he's betrayed his father all these years. I was there when he talked to his mother for the first time about this, and she denied everything. Family secrets can really screw you up. Some of you will have them. Abuse, lady was in my office 2 weeks ago, and she talked about how she'd been sexually abused by her father and by her brother until the time she was 15 and left home. Secrets. They actually can, our whole identity can be formed around dark, dirty secrets that shame us profoundly. And do you know what? We think that if we tell, we will be lesser. We think if we tell, we will be rejected. But do you know what? Our good secrets create community, but our bad secrets create intimacy. When you actually tell, when you actually tell the right person, you have a closeness that you've often never experienced before. Because you experience grace and mercy and experience what God is like with us, with our darkness. And we experience grace on a whole new level. Sometimes we won't let go of our secrets except by being wrenched out of the womb by forceps. I remember dealing with this guy. He'd been married for 6 months and his marriage had not been consummated. His wife was a little bit upset, as you can understand. But he had lied to himself and had not been able to face the fact that actually he had no sexual attraction for his wife or for any woman. And he had not faced that because as a Christian he didn't want to face that. Could have been so different. But do you think he wanted to actually admit that? Just because the only way we can change is when we face our darkness rather than run away from it. And he has begun to change significantly since then. But man, we do some damage when we live out of our bad secrets. Because they put us on an autopilot, whether we like it or not. And so, bad secrets, they make us lonely, alone. Our bad secrets can kill us. But our bad secrets, if we offer them to a loving community, can cause us to be surrounded by love we never thought we could experience. They're not terrible things, but they are terrible to live alone with. Okay? The third thing about secrets Samson experiences is that Delilah comes to him in verse 10 and continues to try and find out what Samson's secret is. And so he tells her something which is a lie, and she does it to him, and like, if you weave my hair like rope, I'll lose my strength, and she does it, and he doesn't lose his strength, and the Philistines go away because they can't capture him. And this happens 3 times. Then the 4th time it happens, she wears him down. It says she nagged him, verse 16 of chapter 16, she nagged him with her words day after day and pestered him, and he was tired to death. Okay? That nagging thing is so hard, isn't it, guys? The nagging thing. We won't pursue the reasons for nagging, but the nagging is hard, okay? Yeah. All the wives can knowingly smile knowing all the reasons why the nagging is so necessary. But anyway, so he told her his whole secret and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head was shaved, then my strength would leave me, and I would be weak like anyone." When Delilah realized he had told her his whole secret, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines. "The time has come. He's told his whole secret." And so they do this, then they shave his head and gouge out his eyes. Okay? And he's taken to be humiliated in public. A lady came into the church office when I was leading a church, and she started talking at me. And she told me about how she'd been abused, how this had happened, that had happened, how she'd had a mastectomy, this happened, this happened, this happened. She didn't stop talking for 10 minutes. Now, how many of you have discovered that when somebody, when you meet them for the first time, tells you too much information, how do you feel? Do you feel, I feel drawn into your life? You don't, do you? You feel, I want to get out of this place and really get out of this place really, really fast, because you might have problems, and I'm sure you've got lots of them, but I'm not ready to enter. In fact, I'm actually quite convinced I don't want to enter. This is a minefield. Now, I'm sure if some of you come and tell me all about your life afterwards, it will be lovely, okay? But you know, it's just like we are not created to tell our whole story to someone that we've just met. In fact, it's repulsive. Because there are rules of relationship, and if you don't know the rules of relationship, because some of us don't, is that we build relationship over time, and we build trust so that we slowly come to intimacy rather than trying to get intimacy straight away. The sign of a broken person is they'll give it all to you because they believe in some way they might get finally loved. That's the deep damage they've experienced. That she bled all over me, hoping that I would embrace her because she offered all her pain to me. I think that's the mindset going on. You know, to have no secrets, to pour out your secrets to anybody and everybody, is not to be a whole person. A lot of the time we talk about secrets as though they're bad. They're not bad. They give us our personhood. But to have no secrets is a disaster. And we live in a world which loves a high-level disclosure. So, hey, some of you will be on Facebook soon. I went to this church today, Compass. It was okay. The guy spoke. He spoke too long. He spoke about secrets. I'm not really sure what I thought about that. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I went to so-and-so, and then I went out with so-and-so, and then we went to lunch here, and then we da-da-da. And we've been trained to tell everything, haven't we? My son said to me the other day, this person's Facebook page tells you everything about their life, and he said it is so boring. He says, why do people do that? Why do people do that? Because we want to put ourselves out there in the hope that people will like our lives, be attracted to us. We have TV shows where people put their families on television, and it's reality TV, whatever. People go and talk about their marriage breakups or whatever they've done wrong on television. Why? I think it's emotional rape. But there is this value of putting it all out there and telling everybody everything, thinking it helps. It doesn't. To have no secrets is to be a disaster. And I want to suggest to you that you put less and less online and less into your cell phone and more into human relationships. Because real community is experienced not in telling everything online, but in face-to-face. All of us hunger for true friendship, but we substitute it for virtual friendship and like to think that now we're connected to this whole cyber community that will love us, and it just doesn't do it. Lucinda Williams, who's a kind of an alternative country singer. Anyone into Lucinda? God bless you. She does a great song called Metal Firecracker on her Wheels on a Gravel Road albums, just throwing it out there. And in this song, she's talking about a relationship she's been in, and she says at the end, it's broken up, and then she says in the chorus, please don't tell my secrets. You know, she's been in this relationship, she's let someone into everything in her life, and they've walked out with her life. So that was confidential, just. Okay? Somebody walked out with all her secrets. I just want to say something to people who've, you know, and you might be walking with people who are going through divorce, or you've been through a divorce yourself. I have noticed that when people have a relationship broke up like this, the sense of having somebody walked out, having been in your life and taken everything with them, puts enormous pressure on for you to create a new life. To prove that you've got a life that's different to the old life, and that you've moved on and you've got another person and you've got another thing happening. Have you seen that happen? And people bounce into another life because somebody walked out with their secrets. And they want to feel different again. They want to have secrets again and grab some mystery back. There are better ways to grab your mystery back. But I want to say, having no secrets is not a good option. And so what I want to talk about lastly is just having God's secrets. And I'll just finish up on this, so I'm sorry if I'm taking a little bit long. And it's from Judges 16, verse 21. It says, "So the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill, but the hair of his head began to grow again, and it had been after it had been shaved." And it goes on to say that they bring him in to humiliate him. And Samson said, called to the Lord in verse 28 and said, "Lord God, remember me and strengthen me only this once, O God, so that I, with this one act of revenge, may pay back the Philistines for my two eyes." Now, it would have been nice if Samson rose to be a spiritual giant and came up with something other than revenge. But he didn't. This is as far as the spiritual maturation process went. But it was embracing his original calling, not to fraternize with the enemy, but to deliver Israel, at least. At least it's close. But no cigar. But he has a secret. Number one, his hair is growing, but he knows that's not enough because he's broken his Nazirite vow. It's not enough to get his strength back. But it possibly gives him faith that just maybe he isn't finished yet. The mystery or the secret that Samson has for the first time in his life is that he is praying. And a prayer comes out of him, "Please God." For the first time, Samson is not just some Hulk, incredible Hulk. He is a man who talks to God. He has a God secret. And that God secret changes everything because God sets him free to fulfill his destiny. Do you know what? You can make big stuff-ups in your life and God can still get you there. Yeah. God's amazing like that. You might think you're a screw-up, but God can get you there. And I'm testimony that when I burned out and went into depression, I just really lost my way. I ended up with some dark secrets, but God has brought me through that. But it took me 2 or 3 years. Things explode when you go into depression, if you haven't noticed that. And Samson has a secret again. He is not merely skin that is hollow. There is something beating in his chest. Matthew chapter 6 verse 3 says, "When you pray, go to the secret place where God is, and the God who sees in secret will reward you. When you fast, put oil on your face so you don't look sad as a puppy, because the God who sees in secret will reward you. When you give, don't even let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, and the God who is in secret will see and will reward you." This repeated phrase, "the God who is in secret," is telling us that God is deeply mysterious. He's a secret of God. Isn't he frustrating? We can't handle all his mystery, and so he controls his mystery, but the God who is in secret calls us to a secret life with him. And do you know what? Most of us have had that stripped out of our souls because we live in the public world all the time now, don't we? Actually getting time to just talk with God, time that space in the city, it's so challenging. But I want to tell you, the core of getting your mystery back is having God's secrets. Secrets with God, where God whispers into your soul, gives you hope, directs you. Psalm 25 verse 2 says, "It's the glory of God to hide things. It's the glory of kings to search it out." God loves to hide stuff. God is into hide and seek. God does not throw it all and make it obvious. Isn't that cool? That God is so essentially mysterious. I'll tell you a little story about happened last month. I was in a flight. I'd been at 5-day kind of input coaching course I was doing, learning a new psychometric tool. That sounds impressive saying psychometric. But anyway, I was there and I was in the plane coming home and I was totally peopled out. And a girl sat next to me, very stressed, and sat down. And I said, "Hi, how you doing?" And she tuned me out and I thought, "Oh, that's okay." And I was quite happy not to talk, although it's amazing how meaningful chats happen in planes, and then you get off the plane and then nobody speaks to each other ever again. It's really weird. But anyway, 20 minutes into the flight, there was a slight change of direction in the plane, and she grabbed hold of me. Now, I'm realistic about my attractiveness, so when 23-year-old woman kind of grab a hold of me, especially attractive ones, I presume the worst. and she said, "Oh, sorry, I just get freaked out when I'm on a plane." Okay. So we start talking, and I'm just getting to know her, and I'm trying to distract her from her anxiety. And for the last 20 minutes, I ended up holding her hand. And the end of the flight, I said to her, "So what is your name?" See, when pretty girls hold my hand, I like to know their name because it doesn't happen very often. And so she said, "Stacey." And I said, on the flight, I said, "So what? How long have you been freaked out with flying?" She said, "Oh, always, always." And I said, "So," and she said, "Oh, it's getting worse." She said, "Last time I flew, I ended up in fetal position crying the whole flight." And she said, "And I won't let people drive me anymore either." She said, "It's just like everything feels out of control." And so I'm sitting here thinking, okay, your life is getting worse. You're getting more and more anxious. What is that? And I said to God, "Okay, so what is it, God?" And I just hear this gentle whisper, "Water." And so I think, okay, thanks God, that's a lot. And I said, "Did you have a bad experience with water?" I'd already asked her, "Did anything happen in your life that might have caused this?" She said, no, I had a great childhood. And I said, "Did you have a bad experience with water?" And she said, "Oh yeah, it's my earliest memory. When I was two, I was in this pool and I was being sucked down this vent and my family was there and they didn't see that I was in trouble." And I said, "It's all about that experience, that every time you feel out of control, you go back to being a two-year-old. You need to get help for that." Okay? Now, I didn't have a chance to tell I'm a Christian, and so God told me that. I don't think that's important. What's important is doing what God tells you to do and saying what God tells you to say, because God wants to entrust us with his secrets. The places that you're in, people who need breakthrough, God wants to whisper to you and tell you his secrets. It didn't happen because I was smart, just happened because I asked. God is a voice. He's not a book, he's a voice. And he wants to whisper his secrets into your soul. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has for those whom he loves, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. God wants to reveal stuff by his Spirit to you and give you God's secrets. Okay? So you have good secrets. Destiny pumping in your veins. But you also might have some bad secrets, some stuff that you have to face. But both those things can bring you into community and bring you into God. The worst thing that can happen to you is actually having no secrets and just bleeding everywhere. But the way back from wherever you are is to meet the God who is in secret. And the God who's in secret will give you your secrets back, give you your mystery back, because you're a mystery under the skin. Every person is. So whatever's going on in your life, I just really want to encourage you to find the right people to talk with if you need to talk. Samson chose the wrong people. If you're young, don't choose a peer. Choose someone who's been around a while. But all of us need mentoring. All of us need people to speak into our lives. Because all of us have secrets, whether they're good secrets to develop or dark secrets to be free of. And when you're in the world, expect God to share his secrets with you. It's what gives us life. Lord, I just pray for everyone here, Lord, that you would help us to handle the destiny that you've plumbed within us. Some of us are trying it too anxiously to get there, and some of us have given up. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would aliven us afresh. God, for those people who've got trapped with dark family secrets, dark wounds that shame us profoundly, God, give us the grace to bring them into the light where you are. Because when they're in the light, as you're in the light, you wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to learn to share our dark stuff and to come into true relationship. And God, help us to protect ourselves from a world that wants all our secrets out there. Give us our mystery back, we pray, Lord. You're a mystery, and we want to be mysterious. And lastly, Lord, share us your secrets, we pray. Find us in us people who you can trust to share your heart with and entrust things that would stun us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.